God put eternity in your heart, and it's okay that you don't feel always, or even the lion's share majority of the time, comfortable in this world, because you're not made for this world. You're made for something different. And you and I both, listener, are trying to live in this world. And sometimes we have troubles that just seem to be too much. Or sometimes we don't really have troubles. We're privileged. We're blessed. We are filled with gratitude. We try to look on the bright side. We try to choose to think, but still we just kind of feel meh. Hey there, I'm Victoria, a certified Christian life coach, author, motivational speaker, and university educator, and I am obsessed with helping you navigate through life's ups and downs so that you can live day by day in God's peace despite the many external demands on your time and energy. The Choose to Think Inspirational podcast is about the delicate dance between God transforming you from the inside out and your personal responsibility for change, maturity, and refinement as a Christ follower. On the show, I'll help you connect the dots between your faith and your life in practical, meaningful ways while giving God room to do what only He can do, and so that you can shine your light for Christ and be better equipped to serve your family and help others around you. You can change every area of your life, one thought at a time. Welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast, Brain Changer. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast. I'm so delighted that you're tuning in. I swear, you know, today this episode is just going to be a little bit different, kind of out of the ballpark in a way, or off the tracks, or like Victoria Unglued. Maybe that's the way we should say it. I've just been in such a slump lately, and I can't really figure myself out. And I keep saying, Victoria, are you choosing to think? Do you just need to change your thinking? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you just feel meh, and you're like, what's really going on? What's at base here? I have absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, to feel unhappy about. Nothing. I feel privileged. I feel incredibly blessed. I have the best family, the best children, the best husband. My parents are living. They're amazing. My sister, my nephew, I am just so blessed from every angle. When I look at like the areas that we talk about so much on the show, the four main areas where we want to choose to think. We want to choose to think about our physical and emotional health. We want to choose to think about our purpose, our calling, you know, God's calling, like on your life. And I know that you're like I am. You want to choose to think about your wealth in terms of your finances, your financial situation, maybe even considering your future. And you want to choose to think about your faith and your relationships. So I can look at all of those areas and I can say, you know, I'm doing kind of okay in all of them, but definitely in all of them, I'm blessed beyond measure. I don't want to come on here and complain. Remember, I just did that no complaining challenge not too long ago. So helpful for me, by the way, to do that. I put a rubber band around my wrist, and every time I said something negative or had a negative thought or I wanted to complain about something, like the stupidest things that I might complain about, I was complaining about the dog tracks on my stairs. We have carpeted steps, a staircase that's carpeted, and the upstairs is carpeted, which, raise your hand if you like carpet. Nobody does. And it's like, oh, I wish we could get rid of it. We did get rid of all the carpet downstairs, and now we have the hardwood floor. There. So what? I have muddy prints sometimes on my floors and on the carpets. Why do I want to get up in arms about something like that? Matter of fact, my dogs are barking now. I don't know if you can hear them. Probably you can. Sorry, they haven't made the video or the podcast in a while. Let me see if I can shut my door, though, to help. Oh, it's our neighbors. They're out cutting their grass. They have a paid grass service, and those people do such a great job. They come every week. But anyway, I don't know what my problem is. I feel like some big Debbie Downer. Then even after the No Complaining Challenge, I launched a challenge for Be Still and Know God. You know, that's just another area where if you ever wonder why I do these challenges, why I wrote a pickleball devotional book about playing pickleball with your partner, why I wrote the Choose to Think devotional, yes, it is a part of what how God has gifted me to write, but it's also out of my own desperation or my own need and desire to be refined and to become better as a human being, as a person who walks this earth, as a Christ follower. I need the help. And I think, gosh, if somebody else is struggling with complaining too much, or somebody else is struggling with being so busy that you can't even see straight sometimes, then maybe they, you know, I can put that out there and others will join me in that challenge. So it's out of my own need, not because I have my act together, which I don't with a capital, do not have my act together. Maybe you can even hear it in the tone of my voice. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to speak transparently today. I have lists of ideas for podcast episodes. I have so many wonderful guests coming up and down the pike that you're just going to love what they have to share. But I've been scratching my head on what to post about or what to talk about and what to study this coming Thursday. So, and that's, by the way, that's the way I podcast. Yes, we've been going 5 years and wisdom might say, hey, you know, put 10 podcast episodes on the counter so you can just schedule them and have them ready to go. And would you believe that in all these years that I've been putting out at least one podcast episode every single week, now in the fifth year doing that, that half the time I'm not ready. I get ready the week of, which is so unprecedented. I know that other podcasters probably don't do that. They build into their schedule times to actually record and to interview guests and things like that. But for whatever reason, I'm convinced there must be a gazillion ways to do a podcast, and I do it every week. That's just one of my projects, one of my weekly projects. I love it. I love to research. I love to share things with you and encourage your heart. But I've been at a standstill a little bit when it comes to just what might be fun or what might be interesting to you or what might be helpful. And I often scratch my head and I ask myself, Victoria, what would you find helpful? And the podcasts that I tend to enjoy and the ones I listen to talk a lot about health mainly. It's emotional and physical health. I think I gravitate toward those. I don't mind listening sometimes to like entrepreneurial podcasts, business podcasts, because I find motivation there occasionally and they are very helpful, maybe new ideas and so forth. But often I end up comparing myself to so many of these podcasters and these people who have quote unquote made it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the promotional assets they throw out each week, they have teams of people helping them. And, you know, I don't. And I don't know, sometimes I just think, you know, what's it worth? Is it worth it? I think I lose sight of the purpose and maybe what God really wants me to do. And a gazillion times I thought, I'm just going to hang up the podcasting hats, just, you know, let that go. And maybe instead I'll keep writing. But for whatever reason, I keep showing up and I love interviewing people and talking with them. It's one of the most fascinating things that I think I get to do is just chatting with them. So anyway, all that to say, I'm kind of struggling, but I don't know why. And I wonder if you're like that too. I've got no good reason to complain. I really don't, but sometimes it's just like meh, that M-E-H, that's how you spell meh. That's like the best way to describe how I feel sometimes. And then I might even give myself a hard time about it because I'm in the Choose to Think business, right? I've got always that hanging up kind of over my head. But anyway, I just wonder if you ever feel that way. If you ever just feel like, I don't know, down in the dumps maybe, or just that you get up and each day you do the same thing and then you're like, okay, you know, what's next? And I want to share with you actually, as I did put some thought into this, and it's kind of funny. I think you'll think it's funny, but it's this particular song and it's called Get Rhythm, and it was written, well, I don't know who wrote it. I just know that Johnny Cash sings it. And it, for some reason, to me, this particular song puts into perspective how to really have a good attitude and a good outlook even on life. I wish I could play the song because it's really kind of catchy. And now even when my women's doubles partner in pickleball, Sarah, and I, when we're playing and when I'm playing with Jim sometimes, we've got, this is kind of like code for, it means to come on now, cheer up, or don't take things so seriously. So I want to read to you the lyrics here. And it says it's a song by Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two. That's what it says. TW, I'm just reading where I Googled it. But it says this. It says, hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get going. Get rhythm when you get the blues. A little shoeshine boy, he never gets low down, but he's got the dirtiest job in town, bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Well, I asked him while he shined my shoes, how he'd keep from getting the blues. He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped a shoeshine rag, and then he said, get rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get rhythm when you get the blues. A jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worried mind. Now get rhythm when you get the blues. Get rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get rhythm when you get the blues. Get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get going. Get rhythm when you get the blues. Well, I sat down to listen to the shoeshine boy, and I thought I was gonna jump for joy. Slapped on the shoe polish left and right. He took a shoeshine rag and he held it tight. He stopped once to wipe the sweat away. I said, you're a mighty little boy to be a working that way. He said, I like it, with a big wide grin. Kept on a popping, and he said again, get rhythm when you get the blues. Come on now, get rhythm when you get the blues. It only costs a dime, just a nickel a shoe. It does $1 million worth of good for you. Get rhythm when you get the blues. And that's the end of that. Isn't that awesome? I love that song. And, you know, we have a Saturday night card playing night. We have our Friday family fun night. My kiddos come around. And then we have a Saturday card night. We've been doing that now for quite a while. And some of the kiddos come and friends. It's just a different kind of night. And we play this game called Hand and Foot. And it was during that night that we were playing 50s music and 60s music. So I guess that's when this song may have come out, but it was so catchy and so much fun. And since then I've had that song on my mind. Matter of fact, I was even thinking of it earlier when I was kind of feeling a little bit meh. And I thought, I'm just going to start playing that song because, as you know, from last week, I gave you 3 mental shifts and singing songs and that point to God and His greatness, His faithfulness, His characteristics, His very name. When we actually focus on those things, it literally shifts our mood. And I have not applied that, but that's one thing I need to apply and to my life even right now. And the Get Rhythm song by Johnny Cash is one of those that kind of sets the tone. But what is it really all about? I mean, would you like to be a shoeshine person? I think they still have shoeshine people out there. I see them sometimes at the airports and at least in other countries, in bigger cities, you might see folks on the corner shining shoes. And what kind of job is that to you? What is that person's daily life? Would you say it's monotonous? Would you say that it's difficult in any way? Would you say that you probably won't make a ton of money doing that if that's what you're after? That it would be, you know, for the investment in time, you may not make that much. Would you say that it's probably cold sometimes? Maybe your fingers get tired in your hands, your arms, your wrists, you know, even just playing pickleball, we get, you know, you get a tennis elbow and maybe your wrists hurt. Sometimes, you know, I'm at the computer so much and sometimes my wrists get really achy. But what would it be like if you were doing those popping and slapping and, you know, rubbing the cloths back and forth on people's shoes and their boots and so forth? Wonder how tired he would get doing that. But in all those scenarios, in such a humble position, he loved it. He grinned about it. Matter of fact, he even said, "I like it," at one point. And then I think, what was his attitude like? How did he kind of keep that mindset going where he counted his blessings? And I'm going to just assume a lot here. I don't know. Maybe he faked it. You know, that is one way to go through life, isn't it? It's just by faking it. And I've certainly done that in my life. You know, we have to sometimes. I walk into a school, a classroom filled with 30 students, and they're all looking at me and wanting me to teach them Spanish and to go over our lessons or give an exam or whatever. And it's not like I'm going to wear my heart on my sleeve there. That would not be professional. It would not be professional to share some details of my personal and private life with my students. There are boundaries there that we wouldn't want to cross. And so when I'm not feeling up to par, but I have to work, I kind of fake it. I remember telling my kids a lot, you know, you just fake it till you feel it. Sometimes when you fake it enough, you'll actually feel it or you'll get the benefits of that. Even if you do a fake smile, for example, this is a little off topic, but if you just, you know, like I'm doing now, like just make yourself grin, it apparently that can release endorphins in your body. And because it's generally something that's happy, but it doesn't even have to be a genuine smile to even elicit some of those chemicals and hormones in your body. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, so I would appear in front of those students in a professional fashion. I would be kind and cordial and smiling and nice, but inside maybe I was really thinking about other things, and they could be things that made me very sad or apprehensive or anxious even. But I knew that for 2 to 3 hours, I had to be that teaching Victoria, the instructor Victoria, and rise to that occasion and make sure that they had a good learning experience that day and make sure I kept the focus on the subject matter, not on anything personal or anything else. So I think you get the message there. And another thing that we can do, I think, is we can choose distraction. I also do that a lot. Sometimes that's why we did the Get the Be Still challenge, because I think sometimes I use, like pickleball, for example, it's such a great distraction and it's very helpful, right, for my body. I get to enjoy fresh air and sunshine and vitamin D. I get to be with friends. It's very social. I get to exercise my body. So all those are really, really good things. But sometimes I think, you know, am I playing too much? Do I do this too much? And am I just making, you know, it's also stress relieving actually, but sometimes it can be stress inducing depending on my attitude and my mindset. Like if I'm, you know, in one of those cranky moods, then it can be tricky on the court. And I end up leaving the court feeling kind of sad and bummed instead of just very delighted. And all this to say, can you just tell how much mindset work I really need to do? How I need to really work on, and I know the 7 R's to living my best thought life. I know all of them, and I've indeed practiced those, but sometimes I will allow distractions to come in. And, you know, when I get really upset, for example, and I'm talking about the upset that, like when someone gets sick or is injured or something like that, I just start cleaning. And okay, that's good, right? I mean, cleaning is good, but it's a distraction. And I would love to talk to that shoeshine guy, and you know, who just says get rhythm. And in a way, what he could have been saying to me, or what would be helpful to me, is, hey, get Jesus. And I don't mean just a token get Jesus, but get on your knees, Victoria, and pour out your heart to him. Even what I'm pouring out to you right now, this, you know, you're a dear listener, but pouring out that to God, to all this to God, and then just listening for what he has to say. I need to be a little bit more Mary these days and sitting at his feet and just listening. And I don't know why on earth I resist that. I kind of scratch my head on that too, but You know, everybody gets the blues. Everybody gets down. We all get in slumps. And that may be you right now. Maybe you're going through a really, really, really hard time. And you're like, the last thing I'm going to do is get rhythm. Thanks a lot. I'm not even going to get rhythm. Maybe it's just a dark season for you. Maybe you don't know, you know, what your future holds. I could go on and on, right? About all these what ifs and things that you might be worried or anxious about. There could be so many scenarios there, really legitimate life challenges that kind of punch you in the gut and leave your head spinning. You're trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to get through this day? My life really isn't like that right now. I just kind of have this very gnawing kind of feeling. Sometimes it creeps up and over me. And sometimes I think, you know, outside of or this side of heaven, it's just going to be that way for days. And I encourage my heart by saying, hey, it's not going to last forever. This will pass. And sometimes knowing that I can have a bummy day or two and knowing that it's going to end is all I need to do to kind of get through those bummy days. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey? Get your copy of the Choose to Think 365-Day Devotional by yours truly. It's a powerful guide to renewing your mind and living your best thought life, featuring scripture-centered devotionals endorsed by Christian songwriter Jenny Owens and applauded by Sherry White of the Messy Christian blog, who says, this is a game changer for our Christian walk. Dive into 5-minute daily segments covering faith, purpose, relationships, emotional health, and physical wellness, but that's not all. Complete your journey with the Choose to Think Companion Journal. Document your reflections, share with a partner or group, and celebrate every thought-by-thought transformation that you enjoy. This is your chance to supercharge your brain and start living your best thought life today. Click the link in the show notes to peek inside and order your devotional and companion journal now. This combo makes a wonderful gift for you to do with your loved ones, or in a group of friends, or in your small group. Your transformation begins with a single thought. Isn't it time you choose to think? Get your copy today. And I mean, it seems to help me. It's like if I have to go and have a root canal or something, I know that I've suffered. I've had one before. I've delivered children. And so if I've delivered a baby, I think I can have a root canal. You know, I'll tell myself things like that I can make it through that. And then just be gracious to myself, you know, allow myself to feel the feelings, knowing that they are temporary, knowing that the next morning I may wake up with such a bounce in my step and feel just so on fire for doing everything and so excited to do everything, instead of like looking at the day of, okay, what do I do today? How do I feel this time? God, what do you want me to do today? What's the best investment in my time and energy today? Sometimes I forget to ask him that. And I just go about my business doing what comes next. I didn't anticipate, even this morning, I had to spend about a little over 3 hours working with students and grading. And because I teach online Spanish still at several colleges and universities in the state of Kentucky. And I was doing that. And you know, there went that time. Those are just things that I do at home. I took Smokey and Rico I picked them up. Jim had taken them this morning to get groomed. And just, you know, sometimes that's also a trigger for me. For some reason, I don't like to go to the groomers. I don't like to pick up the dogs or to take them. I feel like I'm hurting them somehow. Isn't that weird? Smokey once got one of his nails trimmed too deep. They cut into his nail. And that just like, I just was so upset over that because I knew that had to be painful for him. And I was so mad at them because they're the professionals, right? And 99% of the time they do a fine job. I mean, to me, it's a luxury even to take dogs to the groomers. I always groomed Rico before at home, but I did struggle with his nails. I would take him to the vet. She charged like maybe $10, $5. I don't remember, $8 to groom Rico's nails because I couldn't see them. Some of them were black and I couldn't pinch them the right way or cut them. And anyway, so wiggly in my arms too, but I could cut his fur and I did that often. But then there's like the fur inside their ears and, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know, the vet and doctors and all of that kind of get into my head sometimes and make me feel a little bit down. So I just had to go pick them up. But when I walk in, I'm like, okay, are their nails going to be okay? Or is somebody going to have been, you know, bleeding? Or did they, how did they do it? And did they do it right? Sometimes I worry about the silliest things. But overall, I think I'm kind of doing okay, just having a bummy day. And I thought I would share that with you because I don't want you to always think that I'm always saying, try this method, do this, three steps to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That's not really what I'm all about. I stumble upon things and I like to get creative on how to press into God's heart and seek our Father. And so I try to share that with you, but I certainly don't have my act together in so many ways. You know, the whole osteoporosis thing, I really have only shared about that a little bit, but that really rattled me when I was diagnosed with that last year. And I will say that I'm very excited to go to the doctor. I go in 1 month and there will be another DEXA scan or a bone density scan. I cannot wait because I truly believe that my bones have grown, that they have intensified, that they have become denser inside. And I just can't wait to see the progress that was made. But in doing that, it meant that I had to eat a whole lot more. It seemed like I had a very limited diet before and it was not varied enough and was healthy enough, but in ways, but not really good for bone density. And so I've added a lot of protein. I've added a lot of calcium into my diet and I'm eating like three solid meals a day, which I did not do before. I might have eaten one or two meals a day and that was it, and maybe snacking in between. But this has really kind of impacted me. And sometimes I'm like, ugh, I don't want to go eat. And I can't believe I have to go eat more yogurt or more, you know, it has been a little bit burdensome before. And I've actually gained weight, which I've also not enjoyed. So I've been struggling with the dynamic between, you know, my old figure and this new figure that's trying to have bigger bones and bigger muscles and things like that. And in the scheme of things, it doesn't even matter. And I know that, even confessing that, I feel really bad. I mean, do you ever worry about what you look like or changes that your body is going through, any changes that your body's doing and as you age? In fact, I even had a series started about aging gracefully and what does that mean. And, you know, my hairdresser retired. And since then, I've also been in a tailspin about where to get my hair done. And I'm sorry, but why does a haircut and all the stuff they do? Because they still color my gray. I have gray and I have always kidded around that gray is an attitude and I don't have it. But I'm like, it's expensive to color the roots and then get highlights. And so then I get into this big dilemma like, Toria, that's so vain. Why don't you just let your hair go gray? Just let it go gray. And Jim, who would never pressures me in any way like that, he is the sweetest man who walks the face of this earth. He's like, I love your face without makeup. He says things like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I see my face. And I do not wear a lot of makeup. I don't. But I look in the mirror and I'm like, ooh, I think I need, you know, it changes a little bit when I put on a little bit of makeup. And I'm ever so grateful that we have the Book of Esther in the Bible and that was not removed when it was canonized, because at least there's some precedent for kind of keeping ourselves up and maybe putting on a little makeup. I don't know, doing the treatment. So, I mean, we all want to feel good. But then I'm like, what's wrong with me that I just can't go without makeup? Or why don't I just let my hair go gray? Why not? And I don't know. I really don't know. But I want to feel like I look my best. And maybe I think I wouldn't feel like I look my best if I had gray hair. And I would look old, 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 old. And then I think, okay, what's so wrong with old? Thank goodness many actresses now are bucking back against that. You know, I do want to have a face that looks like a grandmother's face. I don't want to have puffy lips or like no forehead or, you know, all the changes that people who have plastic surgery, all that, that happens. And that's fine if you want to do that. I understand your dilemma and your desires, but I really do want to have a grandmotherly face. And, but now, in the here and now, and I am a grandmother, but, and I don't want to look like I'm 20 or something, but I still want to feel like I'm looking good. I mean, do you do that? Do you wear like creams on your face that keep the wrinkles back, or that, you know, am I the only one who struggles with this as a Christian and knowing, okay, do I do this? You know, stuff is so expensive, and buy this $30, you know, 0.5 ounce bottle of something that may reduce the wrinkles and the fine lines in my face. Or do I just use Vaseline or whatever to try to moisturize my face? I get stuck in these areas and I don't stay stuck long. But anyway, those are kind of things that gnaw on me sometimes, just wondering whether I should stop paying $200 to get my hair done. $200. That's a lot of money for hair coloring. And I can think of a lot of things that I would rather do with $200 than that. So then I can feel guilty like, oh, I'm spending my money on this. And there are better things for me to do. Do you see how I'm such an overthinker? I really am an overthinker. And it can be a lonely place sometimes. So this episode is for all the overthinkers out there. You know, we consider everything up one side and down the other, and we turn it around and we go back up, back down. We turn it a degree, we go back up, back down, turn it one more degree. And it goes like this, right? Never ending thinking about things. But in the end, I guess I don't even know what the encouragement would be or the inspiration might be. But I don't know what your hardships are. I don't know what your day-to-day might be like. I don't know what your body's doing that you're like, ew, I can't, you know, I'm having a hard time bending over, or, you know, I can't move like I used to move. Or maybe you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, who's that looking back at me? Maybe you've got other issues. Maybe you don't even care about those things, but you are consumed with, maybe with your weight. Maybe you feel like I just need to lose 50 pounds or something, and you're so frustrated with that, and you just, it's been a lifelong cycle. Sometimes I do tell that to myself, which again is a way that I use myself against me, if you know what I mean. I'm like, okay, Victoria, at your age, why are you concerned about these things? And then I guilt myself for being concerned about them. And then I'm like, Lord, probably I shouldn't be concerned about these. And I can just go in circles on so many things. But in the end, this is just, is this 21st century Christian living? I guess it is. I don't always have these days, but sometimes I do, and somehow it's got to be okay. I mean, I can always think, I love to use the analogy of my own children with me and how I would treat them if they came to me with any kind of issue or problem. And I think the same is for when I go to God with any kind of issue or problem. If my kids come to me, I'm going to just try to validate their feelings, understand what they're going through. I'm not going to give them a hard time about it. And I'm going to maybe remind them of some truths. And that's kind of what I need to do when I go to my Father in heaven. It has to be the same way. I can't give myself a hard time for struggling. So I think what my Heavenly Father might say to me is, Victoria, and I would just say this to you, if you're the one struggling right now, or you're feeling meh, or you can't quite have that attitude like the shoeshine boy, and you're like, get rhythm, you know, get wrecked, or you just don't feel like it's going to work for you, or maybe you're tired of trying to choose to think. Maybe you're weary from that. Maybe you just need to check out a little bit and go off to a solitary place and just be alone, you and God. Oh, I would love to do that. And I may try to see about doing that, actually. I've thought it 1,000 times, like, oh, can I just get away for a weekend? Just me and God. What would that be like? But anyway, if that's you, maybe what I think God might tell you, what he might say to me is, it's just okay. And I think God would remind me, Victoria, and I would remind you, God put eternity in your heart. And it's okay that you don't feel always, or even the lion's share majority of the time, comfortable in this world, because you're not made for this world. You're made for something different. And you and I both, listener, are trying to live in this world. And sometimes we have troubles that just seem to be too much. Or sometimes we don't really have troubles. We're privileged. We're blessed. We are filled with gratitude. We try to look on the bright side. We try to choose to think, but still we just kind of feel meh. And that's okay. It has got to be okay as a Christian woman not to be always on, and maybe not always joyful, not always happy, not always contented. I think that sometimes we have to know the darkness in order to see the light. And during those times like this, it's not that we're hanging on. We know God is hanging on to us, that He's not going to let our hands go. We know that we're yoked with Christ. We know all the biblical truths, don't we? We know that He does not leave us or forsake us. We know He is with us 24/7, 365. And so maybe the message is just to be okay with how you are, and to not put guilt upon guilt for how you are, and to know that God can use this to draw you closer to His heart. And He's there. And maybe we can pray. I'm going to pray for us. We can pray that He would reveal Himself to us, and that He would show His presence to us, and that He would encourage our hearts. So that's kind of where I am in life right now. I am that warrior woman. I love that image of the soldier in God's army, and that His word is my sword, and that I kneel before Him. I've got an image of a lady kneeling with the sword in hand. She's, you know, the point of the sword is down, like boom, down in the ground, but her head is tilted as she kneels before her king. And we know that each battle goes to God, but whether you're facing something small or whether and really seemingly insignificant, like muddy paw prints on your carpet, or something really, really, really big, like a loved one who's ill, or maybe an estranged child. Maybe you have a new identity that you're trying to grapple with. You know, there could be so many scenarios even between, from, you know, weight gain or trying to age gracefully, trying to maintain all your friendships and to be on top of so many things that you do in your day. You're serving others. You're doing so many things right. But maybe you just feel a little meh. And maybe you're like, yeah, I want to get rhythm, but not sure really how. Well, that's okay. It is okay that you don't have everything figured out. It is okay that you have a bummy day and you just want to eat M&Ms and watch I Love Lucy shows. It is okay that you fake it sometimes. It is okay if you distract yourself sometimes. But know, and I'm saying this to myself, that the great hound of heaven is just there running after you. And He's always there. And I have a sneaky feeling that if you and I will make ourselves vulnerable enough, we'll slow down enough, we'll surrender. You know, fighters, you're a fighter. I know you're a fighter. And fighters have a hard time surrendering even to our God. We have a hard time sometimes bending our knee even to our God, though we know it's right, though we want to, we long to, we know the benefits of doing that. Sometimes we still pull back and just say, hey, I know I'm yoked with you, Jesus, but hey, let's go this way. I do that a lot, and I want to be better, and I know you do too. But in the meantime, can we offer ourselves grace and mercy and a whole lot of love and treat ourselves kindly? If you can do it, I will. So as we close, let me pray for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are a God who hears. You are a God who listens. You're a God who speaks to us. You are a God who cares. I thank you so much that your name is a strong tower, and when we're feeling out of sorts, we can rush into it and find a little respite and a little rest for our weary souls. I thank you, Lord, that there's no pretense with you. I think about you, Jesus, as you walk the face of this earth and the things that you did and the people that you met, all the healings that took place, the miracles, the relationships that you fostered with your disciples. And I'm sure the disciples had bad days. And I'm sure you met lots of people who were struggling. But your message to them was always the same. Come to me. Come to me. So, Father, I ask that you would help every listener to go to you, to come to you, and to submit and surrender to you and to your ways and to your will, and to carve out a little bit of time just to let the lover of their souls speak tenderly to them. May your love cover over all of us like a warm blanket. May we sense your presence. May we hear that still small whisper that you give. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us so abundantly. I cannot believe how blessed I feel in this life. Thank you for my family, my friends. Thank you for a body that's able to play pickleball and to get out and walk and exercise. I have limbs. I have a head. I can think clearly. I thank you so much for all those things. I think that if I could look into your eyes, Jesus, that you would have such love and warmth toward me, and that you would say to my listener as well, it's okay, you're doing a great job. You don't have to have everything tied up with a pretty pink bow. It's okay. It's okay. I've got this, and it all comes clean in the wash. Just let it go and just be. And somehow, maybe in doing that, Lord, we can take a deep breath and be encouraged to know that every morning, every minute, your mercies are new. And before we know it, something great can happen to encourage our hearts. Father, help us to be on the lookout for other people as well, for those who are struggling and who need help and assistance. Help us to be on the lookout for those people, because sometimes when we're helping others, we are also essentially helping ourselves and serving your heart. So may we always be on the lookout for a way to serve others and to be kind and empathetic and compassionate toward others. We do love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1-2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co. That's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com, and that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach, and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.